Welcome to our service for Advent Sunday. We begin with the great Advent hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. We begin our time of penitence with three Advent Kyries. Restore us, O God of hosts. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us peace and strength in our days. Come, Christ Jesus. Be present with us, and we shall be saved. Come, Lord Jesus, and do not be slow. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have done and what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, so that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Brothers and sisters, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us live honourably as in the day, not in revelling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarrelling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Star, through the
must hear his footfall at the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The earliest iron artifact in Wales that has been found is a sword dating to about 600 BC. By that date, iron tools and weapons had probably been being made in Wales for about 200 years. However, Britain, being at the western edge of Europe, was some centuries behind the Mediterranean and the Middle East, where the Iron Age began a few hundred years earlier. That first sword from Wales was made at about the same time as a young prophet was beginning an extraordinary ministry in Jerusalem. His name was Isaiah. His deep faith and his poetic genius still ring across the centuries. While people in Wales and Britain were only beginning to discover how to make an iron ploughshare or an iron sword, a spear or a pruning hook, he was writing the lovely words in today's first reading. They shall beat their swords into ploughshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah was surrounded by devastation. His home city, Jerusalem, was one of few left standing in a country that had been devastated by the invasion of its northern neighbour, Babylon. It was left, he says, in another memorable image, like a shelter in a cucumber field. Perhaps we might say, like a shed on an allotment. In Isaiah's own lifetime, Jerusalem would indeed be captured, its temple devastated, its walls thrown down. He himself, at that time, would prophesy the city's downfall. Jerusalem is, of course, in many ways still a besieged city today. But when, at the start of each day's play, the fans of the England cricket team sing William Blake's Jerusalem, they sing not of that broken, ruined city with its wailing wall, but of Isaiah's vision of it as a shining symbol of peace for all the nations of the earth. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his path." Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But Isaiah knew that peace, like war, begins not in a nation, nor in a city, but in the human heart. And that is as true today as it was 2,500 years ago. We have good cause to know, even in this 21st century after Christ, that war can be engendered in the heart and mind of a single man of evil influence, and its suffering and misery thereby visited on millions of innocent men, women, and children. Peace begins not with our nation, not even with our nearest family or relations, but with ourselves. If there is to be a kingdom of peace, peace must first be established within the heart and soul of the individual. St. Paul wrote, "I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my body another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my body." It was a battle that Shakespeare recognised. "Why do I yield to that suggestion," cries Macbeth, that shakes so my single state of man. We struggle to retain our inner singleness and wholeness, the unity of the soul. We are not single, but divided beings. We have been aware since Eden of what is right and what is wrong. The knowledge of good and evil is always alive in us, and the temptation to do what is wrong, say what is wrong, think what is wrong, and not do what is right is always present to us. It can seem extreme to us, all this Advent imagery of terrifying darkness and shining light. We all know that the inner landscape of our souls is composed in more subtle shadows and in shades of grey. Our life is more wonderful than any other kind of life we know of in the universe, and yet we all know that there is a restlessness within us, a sense that we are made for a life that is something even better than we manage to be, for an inner peace of soul and spirit which is always before us, yet somehow always beyond us. We catch a glimpse of its beauty, perhaps, in a work of art, a poetic image, a moment of musical harmony, in a sense of oneness with the world around us, perhaps above all, in a moment of love. But we can never hold on to it. Our lives revert to grey, to the normal and humdrum business of our days, which have their compensations, but which leave us always with the sense that we were made for more than this. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our souls are restless till they find their rest in you." In Advent, we reaffirm our hope of peace and rest based on the faith that there once lived a man who was like us in every other way, and yet without these limitations, without sin, as we would say. A man who lived in this same world of shadows and contradictions that we inhabit, but a man whose perfections overcame the limitations of our existence. He was a man whose fellowship with God made him the full expression of the love and light which are the heart of God's very being. He is the image, wrote Paul incredibly, of the invisible God. In him the whole fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. He was a man whose light the darkness could never quite extinguish, a man whose love would drive him to the cross, but whose love the cross could not conquer, a man whose life the grave could not contain. He fully shared our humanity and has raised it to the right hand of the Majesty on high. There is a man in heaven now, whatever heaven is, whatever heaven means. There is a human being like you and me who lives forever in the light of the divine love, and he has opened the way for each one of us to be with him. We were made for love, and we will live with him in love. We were made for light, and we will live with him in light. We were made for peace, and we will find eternal rest in him. Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled in him. There will be a new Jerusalem, and its light will be the Lamb upon the throne. Amen.
Sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roar, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roar, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roar, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen one shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the Lord is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll, when the roll is called up yonder on in the when the roll, when the roll is called up yonder on in the when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
So we come to our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad hynoedd yn yfaith sancteiddiad enw deled y dyrnas, gwneled y wyllus, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni'n ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar wyn ni y brofedigaeth eithy gwared ni thrag drwg. Can i seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. We pray to our everlasting God, through our Saviour Jesus, who is both Christ the King and the Son of Man, and who understands our needs and the needs of this world. On this Advent Sunday, we pray. Good and gracious God, grant us a glimpse of your glory, that we may rejoice in your presence and abide in your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Dear Father, help us to see that you are always with us. Nothing is too difficult for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give. When we believe in your Son, repent of our sins, and confess Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That first Christmas, you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the centre, the focus of our lives, always and particularly at this Advent time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, at this time of crisis when so many are suffering, we pray for our nation and for the world. Give our leaders wisdom and integrity. May the resources of the earth be neither hoarded nor squandered, but used for the benefit of all and the relief of those in need. Strengthen all who strive for justice, and may vulnerable people be freed from oppression and abuse. Lead us through these difficult times to better days ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift to God all those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit. We hold them in our hearts, praying for their health and well-being, And we pray that even when loved ones cannot be physically together, they will not feel apart. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness and anxiety, be the light that shines in their darkness, through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, as Jesus' followers asked him to help their friends, so we ask you today to help all those known to us who have lost loved ones this past year and who are struggling in the darkness of their grief. May they know moments of peace in their pain, moments of joy in their memories, and moments of hope in your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May God increase in us our love for one another. May Christ Jesus teach us how to live in the light of God. May the Holy Spirit strengthen our hearts in holiness as we ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us this Advent time and always. Amen.